KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have 26 degrees in Atlantic. We look for skies to become partly cloudy today, a high of 38, winds southwest at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities from their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building. In area news, the Adair County Board of Supervisors will receive additional funding requests for fiscal year 2022 during a special session set for 9 o'clock this morning. During that session last Friday morning, they received funding requests from the County Engineer, Environmental Services, the Fair Board, Adair County Historical Society, Library Association, Ag Extension, and Midwest Partnership. Today, they'll hear funding requests from SICOG, the Southern Iowa Council of Governments, DHS, County Treasurer Brenda Wallace, and County Recorder Janelle Schneider. The meeting will be conducted via dial-in. You can find the number and access code and the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. The CAM School District Board of Education will meet this evening at 6:30 at the CAM High School Superintendent's Office. Among the items on their agenda is discussion and or action on open enrollment, resignations, and contracts, administrative reports, approval of the 2022 trip to Washington, D.C., and approval of midterm graduates. The 2020 Iowa legislative session is scheduled to begin today with Republicans who control the debate agenda predicting significant action on education and taxation. Senate Republican leader Jack Whitfer of Ankeny said there's no consensus yet, though.
The tax conversation and tax changes don't happen in a bill filed day one in the legislature usually. So what I know is as long as I'm majority leader and as long as we're in the majority, we want to continue to improve the tax climate in the state of Iowa.
House Speaker Pat Grassley, a Republican from New Hartford, said legislators will get the next detailed report on state tax revenue in March.
We're seeing higher than expected revenue growth. If we have those opportunities to return dollars back to the hardworking Iowans, we want to do that.
House Democratic leader Todd Pritchard of Charles City says tax cuts should be targeted to make things like housing and child care more affordable.
If we're going to talk tax cuts, let's talk tax cuts for working Iowans, not just for those at the top.
Senate Democratic leader Zach Walls of Coralville said the legislature's primary focus should be on the pandemic.
This is the event that has turned all of our lives upside down. So looking at things that will help our frontline healthcare workers, other essential workers, small businesses, community agencies like food banks. You know, we know that food insecurity for families in our state has tripled since the start of the pandemic.
Last Thursday, Republican Governor Kim Reynolds hit pause again on her Invest in Iowa proposal to both lower income taxes and raise sales taxes due to the pandemic. Republican legislators say their education plans will revolve around ensuring parental choice. Speaker Grassley said if it was an issue in the November election, as some parents grew frustrated that their children were not back in classroom full time.
I think that Iowans spoke loud and clear that that's their expectation. And in fact, I think it affected a lot of races.
Both Grassley and Senator Whitfer said everything is on the table when it comes to education policy, including giving parents state money to cover the costs of private school tuition.
When you talk about parental choice, there's a lot of different things that go into that. Can you transfer out of Des Moines Public Schools or not? Are your kids in school 5 days a week, or are they all virtual? It's public-private. Education is going to be probably the biggest conversation of this entire session.
Democrats say spending state tax dollars at private schools diverts scarce resources at a time when Iowa's public schools need more assistance. As the new Iowa legislative session kicks off today, advocates for seniors hope that lawmakers take another look at elder abuse and do more to prevent it. When the 2020 session abruptly ended in March because of COVID, the momentum evaporated for a bill to create a new criminal offense for financial exploitation and other harms against Iowans who are age 60 and older. The bill had cleared the state Senate but didn't get a vote in the House. Anthony Carroll of AARP Iowa says current statute doesn't cover a lot of ground, and this provision could stem a prevalent way in which elders are targeted.
It's not the stranger danger or scams. It's more oftentimes the danger that can exist within your home. People that you've been trusted with your finances and care that have used that opportunity to physically abuse and actually exploit.
The measure won unanimous approval when it cleared the Senate last spring, but Carroll says because it's a new session, advocates have to start over again to gain support and get committee hearings. He acknowledges that might be difficult since lawmakers have to address pandemic-related matters. The legislation also would direct the Department on Aging to collect and store more data on the incidents. Carroll points out that in a report from last year, the DHS said more than 50% of reported cases of elder abuse weren't accepted for follow-up.
We have a very narrow system that really only stops elder abuse in very specific situations.
Supporters of the bill say they fear the situation has gotten worse with so many older people isolated right now because of the pandemic. The previous bill did have the backing of many law enforcement groups, financial institutions, and long-term care associations. And authorities have arrested a Des Moines man who allegedly took part in the riot at the U.S. Capitol building on Wednesday by supporters of Donald Trump. Police Sergeant Paul Parizic said Saturday that officers assisted the FBI and arrested 41-year-old Doug Jensen Friday night at his home on the Capitol City South Side. Jensen was being held in the Polk County Jail. He faces charges that include knowingly entering and remaining on any restricted building or grounds without lawful authority, disrupting the orderly conduct of government business, violent entry and disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building, obstructing a law enforcement officer during a civil disorder. Video posted online during the mayhem last Wednesday showed a man who appears to be Jensen, who was white, pursuing a black police officer up a flight of stairs as the mob trails behind. That officer, as it turns out, was leading the mob away from where the legislators and the Capitol were in order to provide them safety. In the funeral announcements, Agnes Clara Potterbaum, age 82, of Anita, died Friday at the Cass County Hospital. A private family mass of Christian burial for Agnes Potterbaum will be tomorrow at St. Mary's Catholic Church in Anita, with an open visitation today from 4 until 7 p.m. at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. Masks and social distancing will be required. Pauline Polly May White, age 69, of Guthrie Center, died Saturday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. A private family visitation for Polly White will be held Tuesday at 2:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart. Monteith burials in the Monteith Cemetery and in rural Guthrie County. Robin Henningsen, age 57, of Walnut, died Friday at Bergen Mercy Hospital in Omaha. A private family memorial service for Robin Henningsen will be at the Peace United Church of Christ. The service may be viewed on the Reconvene Funeral Home Facebook page on Thursday, beginning at 10:30. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Neoma Ann Vanderheiden, age 90, of Harlan, died December 31st at Murtu Medical Center. A mass of Christian burial for Neoma Vanderheiden will be held this Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Michael's Catholic Church in Harlan. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Tim Sweeney, age 58, of Audubon and formerly of Messina, died Thursday at Iowa Lutheran in Des Moines. Private family services for Tim Sweeney will be held at a later date. Essene Funeral Home in Messina is assisting the family. William Arbaugh, age 95, a lifelong Atlantic resident, died Friday. Cremation has taken place and no services are planned for William Arbaugh. The family is in charge of the arrangements. Daniel Carl Heese, age 65, of Erling, died Wednesday. No services will be held for Daniel Heese at this time. Pauly Jones Funeral Home of Harlan is assisting the family. Marilyn Reynolds, age 87, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Allen Place. A private family funeral service for Marilyn Reynolds will be held at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Jerry Rosenbeck, age 76, of Exira, died Friday at the VA Medical Center in Des Moines. Services for Jerry Rosenbeck are pending at the Odie Funeral Home in Gibbleton. The news was brought to you by Rex Pharmacy, working to improve health outcomes for patients in our communities. From their new location at 1607 East 7th Street in Atlantic, the former Sears building, I'm Rick Hansen reporting.